Standing with me, grab your Bibles, Isaiah chapter number 14 this morning. Isaiah chapter 14, we'll begin reading in verse number 12, and I'll read all the way through verse number 17. We'll do this responsively. I'll read verse number 12, and you'll join me on verse 13. Isaiah chapter number 14, verses 12 through 17, and I'll begin in verse number 12. Bible says in Isaiah 14, verse number 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, and open not the house of prisoners?" Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you so much for all that you do for us. Thank you for giving us a good week. It's been a productive week. We've enjoyed the work this week, being able to see all the things that you've allowed us to get accomplished. Lord, it's been enjoyable to spend time with you personally this week. Lord, I've enjoyed being in church this morning, being with your people, hearing the word of God being taught. Lord, you've been so good to us. There's no reason that we have to complain. Here we're this morning, yes, with heartaches, yes, with difficulties, things in our mind. But Lord, the reason we're here is to hear from you. And as the word of God is preached this morning, ask that the truth would be clear, that the word of God would work in our hearts and in our lives, encourage, strengthen, comfort, motivate, and convict where necessary. Lord, we'll look for you to do something in our lives personally this morning. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Be with our pastor this morning as he preaches. Please fill him with your power. We'll yield ourselves to you as we hear the word of God preached this morning. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them a good bit this morning. I want to help you. This is not a topic that is breached or preached much in our world today, but I'm going to attack it headlong, kind of like I normally do. I'm afraid that we have allowed the world and Hollywood to influence us way too much about the devil. The devil is not a cartoon character. He's not a guy with a red suit and a pitchfork and a pointed tail. But he's also not this mean, nasty, ugly, menacing creature that looks like it crawled out of the netherworld. He's not some fictional character as you see in a comic book. The devil is real, and he's more powerful than we give him credit for. Now, listen to me very carefully here. I'm not trying to scare anyone, but if it scares you, good. You ought to be afraid of the devil. I think we ought to be afraid of sin. I think we ought to run from it, not to it. God says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, that the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You have to understand something that just ought to bring it right down to where we're at. The devil is real, and he's trying to destroy you. Let me say that again. The devil is real, and he's trying to destroy you. That does not sound like a cartoon character to me. It doesn't sound to me as though Satan is this evil creature that just if you saw it, you would recognize him. Satan is far more powerful than any human alive. I'm going to show you some things that may shock you. The devil is an eternal being. He's been around since before man was around. Now let that sink in for a second. He has more influence than you can imagine. I'm going to say some things today that may shock you. I'll show you some things. I'll back them up with scripture, but I'm going to say right here, things like Harry Potter need to be thrown back to the pit of hell. Witchcraft, wizardry, and all of that is a tool of Satan to get people numbed to what Satan really is. I don't play around with that mess. I've been around people who worship Satan. I've been around demons and people who are possessed by them. You don't have to wonder. I've been around very, very evil, nasty stuff in my life. Now, I want to share with you a biblical view of Satan, the devil. We need to know our enemy. Our enemy, listen to this, our enemy is not our fellow man. We have to understand that man is not our enemy. The devil and evil is our enemy. Our enemy is evil, stinking, old smutty face, the devil, and his influence on people in societies of our world. I want you to see so that you can protect yourself from the real devil that is alive today. Now, first of all, let me build a foundation. And if you don't get anything, this is review, but you must understand this because I'm about to give you my opinion on something, but I'll show you why it is a biblical opinion. You don't have to agree with me on part of this, but first of all, God is made three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. By the way, they are all God. Just like I am a pastor, I am a husband, and I am a dad, I'm the same person, but I have three distinct responsibilities. God has the ability to separate himself into three beings, and yet he is one. Does that make sense to everybody? God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit is what is reborn and rebirths man's spirit, and that's what gives you the eternal genetics of God. It is his spirit that beareth witness. By the way, that term beareth, it's just like the term of a woman bearing a child. It is his spirit that beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Now, listen to me very carefully here. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each of those three parts of God have definite titles and definite responsibilities. For instance, God the Father is the judge or the ruler of the universe. He is the one that sits on the throne. He is the one that judges the nations and rules the world. By the way, one day Jesus will be the king of the earth. He is not yet. You know, he has that title, but he hasn't taken the throne. But God the Father is always presented, now listen to me, he's always presented as the judge or the ruler. That's why in the end days you will have the great white throne judgment. Who will preside over that? God. God the Father. Now listen to me. Then you have the Son. That's Jesus. He's our Savior. He's the one in whose image we are made. His job was to be our Savior. He came, and he is the man part of God. Does that make sense to everybody? He is more than man. He is God. He is the God-man. He didn't come in Bethlehem's manger to be man. He came to Bethlehem's manger to put on flesh that could die. We were created in his image, and the image of God created him, male and female. We were created in the image of Jesus himself. The word image doesn't mean a mirrored like look-alike. The image means very similar. We were made in the same similarity as Jesus. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is the judge. God the Son is the Savior. He is the Prince in power of, or the Prince of the earth. Number three, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that which allows us to communicate with God the Father. He is the messenger. He is the one who delivered the message and works through the message from God to man. And he is the one that delivers messages from God to man. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Father is the judge. The Son is the Savior. You have the Holy Spirit who is the messenger. Now, here's where my opinion comes in. Okay? Everything I just told you is fact. You can't refute it. This is my opinion. You can be wrong. I could be wrong. Doesn't matter. But the fact is, we have those things. But I believe, personally, originally, there were three archangels. You had Michael, you had Gabriel, and you had Lucifer. Everybody understand that? What were their jobs? This is my opinion. I believe each one of them helped one part of the Godhead. I believe you had Gabriel who helped the Father with judgment. Daniel chapter 8. Turn there with me very quickly, if you will. Daniel chapter 8. We're in Isaiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Just about 100 pages or so. Daniel chapter 8. Look at verse number 21. Look at verse number 20. And the ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, which is Greece. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now, that being broken, where has stood up four kingdoms, verse 23, verse 24, verse 25. And all of a sudden, you get down to verse 26. And the vision is the... And I'm in the right chapter. Yes, there we are. The vision of the evening and the morning was told true. Wherefore, shut up that vision, which is for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and there were six certain days. And afterward arose up in the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but I understood it not. You have to understand there was the angel Gabriel is the one that brought this to Daniel. Go to Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Look at verse number 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen. And you go a little farther later and you see the judgment that was given by this is given by Gabriel. Now look at me very carefully here. Gabriel is always associated, okay, he will be the one that supposedly will blow the trump of God, correct? You say why? At the rapture, the judgment is about to take place upon the earth. It is a declaration of the king, the father, the ruler, saying judgment is coming. Anytime there was a judgment placed, you see Gabriel being there. Now, and I have about 20 scriptures for each of these. I'm just picking a couple as I go. I'm not going to turn this into something big. So personally, I believe Gabriel worked closely with God the Father. Then you have the Holy Spirit, which is the messenger angel. Turn to Jude, right before the book of Revelation. It's just one chapter, If you get to chapter 2, throw your Bible away. Jude, you think I'm kidding? I'm not. Look at verse number 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him the railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Now notice, Michael is battling with Satan, Lucifer, over the body of Moses. God buried Moses, and the devil wanted to bring Moses back up to say, well, God's not as powerful as everybody thinks he is. And there was a battle there, but the message was brought by Michael. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, look at verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against the angels, and prevailed not, neither their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is when Satan was kicked out of heaven, Isaiah chapter 14. And Michael and his angels were doing battle. They were the messengers delivering the judgment of God. So you have Michael, the archangel, the messenger angel, helping the Holy Spirit, Gabriel helping God the Father in judgment. That leaves one left, Lucifer, for Jesus, the Son. By the way, who will fill the Antichrist? Satan. Who is trying to have an appearance of Christ and yet deceiving the nations of the world? The devil. I was an assistant pastor for 23 and a half years. I worked for several different men in those 23 years. My job as an assistant was to give up my opinion and follow the men and help them and aid them. Now, I had opinions, but if my opinion got overrode, we followed theirs, not mine, their work, not my work. It doesn't mean that I always agreed with my leader. Everybody doing okay? But there were times I took what I wanted, put it aside to do what the leader wanted because he wanted it done that way. As long as it wasn't a matter of right and wrong, everything was okay. But I remember the first church I was in, the pastor started wanting things that were not scriptural and we had a problem. I said, I'm not changing the Bible for him, for you, or for anybody else. And we went to battle, and that's why I was only there for 2 years. Say why? Because I wasn't going to give up right and wrong for anybody else's opinion. Wasn't going to change the Bible for anybody's opinion. And I stuck it out as long as I could, and then war broke out, and it was best for me to step aside. I did not want to be disloyal to the pastor in front of his people, nor did I want to be disloyal to God. Therefore, ethically, the best thing for me to do is to step aside. So that's what I did. You have to understand something. Satan most tries to mimic Christ with perversion. He's trying to draw people away from him. Can I tell you something? As an assistant pastor, every man that I worked for, I held the power to destroy them because I knew their weaknesses. I knew how to get to them. An assistant pastor holds a lot of power. They gain the trust of the people, but they also know the feet of clay of the one above them. And if you're not careful, you can use that wrongly and destroy people. That's exactly what the devil tries to do. Now, my opinion part of this is this. The archangels had a position assisting one part of the Godhead. You don't have to agree with me on that. I've showed you why I have my opinion about that, but I do know this. Originally, there were three archangels: Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Lucifer sinned in heaven, and as we read in Isaiah 14, God, and as we read in Revelation chapter 12, God kicked him and his angels out of heaven. Look at Isaiah 14 again. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? By the way, son of the morning. One of Jesus' titles is the what? Morning star. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Sounds like religion of today. I'll work my way to heaven. I'll do my own righteousness. I'll be the judge of what's right and wrong in my life. Sounds just like religion today. May I say something to you? I've said it to you before. I'll say it again. Religion is man telling God how God must accept man. Christianity is reading what God said, thus saith the Lord, and us submitting and obeying what God says. I don't care if you put the name Christianity. I don't care if you put the name Muslim or Mohammedism or Shintoism or Buddhism to it. Religion is man telling God how God must accept man. But Christianity is not a denomination. Christianity is, thus saith the Lord, and I will submit my lack of righteousness to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is what Christianity is all about. By the way, you don't have to agree with me about whether you think that the archangels were helping one part of the Godhead. I will not fight with you over that. But I will tell you this, according to Matthew 25:41, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. He had followers. He had a leadership position. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, we read those verses where there was a battle and Michael had to deliver that message, and the angels that followed that old serpent, the dragon, the devil, Satan himself, he had followers, so he had a position of leadership in heaven. Now, listen to this statement. You'll often hear preachers say, one third of the angels that followed him. I don't know if one third did. I do know that there were a portion of angels that did follow Satan. I can't tell you how many. That's not mine to give. They assume that one third of them, because there were three archangels. But I don't know all those that followed him actually followed him to hell. I can't answer that. I know this as an assistant pastor. I wasn't going to follow pastors down the wrong direction. I would imagine not all of them followed Satan, but I don't know. So I give you my opinion about that, but understand Satan at one time was one of the three highest, most powerful beings in heaven outside of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I do know this. He was stronger than Michael. Michael did battle with him and needed help. So, number two, are you ready? Okay, everybody, shake your head, smack yourself or somebody next to you. Make sure you're related to him. All right, wake up. Here we go. Number two, Satan is an attractive creature with great power. Satan is somebody who is attractive and has great power. Take your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, and let's look at verse number 11. Now you have to understand something. This is talking about the devil here, Lucifer. You ready? Look at Ezekiel 28, verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the what? Okay, look at me. That means God's talking, right? By the way, all of the Bible is God talking. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in where? Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast what? Created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise have they filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. And I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before the kings that they may behold thee. Wow. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. They shall be a terror, and they shall and never shalt thou be any more. Now look at me. That doesn't sound like this nemesing creature that is ugly and nasty, does it? Now, his influence is ugly and nasty. But he himself, God said, he was beautiful. What caused him to fall was he started seeing his beauty, and his beauty lifted him up in pride. I want you to notice something. He was beautiful and very fancy. Look at verse 13. It talks about all the different precious stones, diamonds, beryl, topaz, etc., etc., etc. And it says down in verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Now look at me. If the devil walked in here today, you would not know him. He would not be this evil, sulfury smelling red creature with a pitchfork. The Bible says that he was very beautiful to look upon. Those are God's words. He was created to be beautiful. The covering cherub. That term covering means first and most prominent. That's why I believe he was the most powerful of the three archangels. Matter of fact, verse 13 says that one of his jobs was music. His tabrets and his pipes. It's in reference to music. By the way, look at the influence of evil in music today. Look at the influence of evil in music throughout history. Did you know that music and false doctrine go hand in hand? Did you know that music and false gods go hand in hand? You may not like what I'm about to say, but I don't care. Add it to the other list of things you don't like what I say. Rock and roll music came on the scenes in the 1950s. It is a sensual, perverted style of music. The very term is in reference to a relationship, and an adulterous and a fornicating relationship between men and women. Did you know where the origins of rock music are? The beat of rock music comes from Satan worship. You can go as far back as you want. You can go into the tribes of Africa or anywhere in the world, and the beat of the music is as dangerous as the words. Rock and roll music affects the body, not the spirit. You know, there are only three chords in rock music. It's not really music, it's noise. Many of you came out of the rock and roll culture. And it's a very powerful culture. Some of you haven't listened to songs in 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, and you can go to a gas station and hear it and sing every word. And then I got to get that out of my brain. Why is that? Because Satan knows how powerful music is. By the way, that's why it's wrong for churches to use the devil's music to bring God's words to his people. I am as against what they call Christian contemporary or Christian rock and roll music as I am Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin and AC/DC. Everybody doing okay? I know those are out-of-date groups, but those are the only ones I heard of. I used to preach against them in the 80s, so I can't tell you any more than that. Some of you were like, I don't remember any of it. I didn't listen to it. But you have to understand something. Satan is a very beautiful creature. And he uses music to influence the nations of the world. By the way, it says in verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Who is in the garden of God in Eden with man other than God himself? The serpent, which is Satan. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any creature. And it was the serpent who was Satan himself who tempted Adam and Eve and said, you could be like gods, knowing good and evil for yourself. And if you'll just disobey God and obey what you want to do. By the way, Satan's not interested in destroying your life. He just wants you to get you to do what you want to do instead of what God wants you to do. Honestly, I don't think Satan's greatest feat is going down on Queen Street and looking at all the drunks laying in their vomit today. I don't think Satan looks at that and says, look what I did. I think what Satan's more proud about is all the people sitting in church today hearing bad doctrine about how that they can work their way to heaven and do things to merit salvation. And he says, I got them. They think they're being spiritual, and these are my prized possessions. They think that they're doing right because they're doing right according to them, not according to the Word of God. Okay. Look how powerful Satan is. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the what? The wiles of the whom? Devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Guess what? Satan's more powerful than flesh and blood. But against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Who does that? The devil. And the devil is attractive enough to where he can associate with principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. He influences governments. He influences big business. Not every big business, but people like Bill Gates. People like Mr. Tesla. People like Walmart and the Walton family after Sam passed off the scene. He influences nations. There were principalities there. That's in reference to government. The devil is attractive enough to where he can walk into through empowering people in the palace of England. Did you know that if the queen saw the devil, she would bow to him unknowingly? Powers. There are a lot of powerful people in our world that are evil. There are a lot of powerful people that are not evil, but you can go to Congress right now, go to D.C. and find a lot of powerful people that are evil. And I'm not afraid to say what I'm about to say. The president of the United States is wrong. You don't bring help to people because of the color of their skin. Folks, I don't give a flip what color somebody is. If they're sick, they need help. When in the world did we start making decisions based on... By the way, he's the one that's supposed to bring everybody together. He's sectioning people off. That's right out of the textbook of socialism. Divide and conquer. I'm not for helping anybody based on the color of their skin. Guess what? That's something you and I have nothing to say about. Don't worry about what color they are. They're a human being that needs our help. Period. End of discussion. By the way, why is it then that it's okay to murder a baby, but it's not okay to walk around? Well, you got to be careful. You can't go to work if you don't have a vaccine because you might hurt somebody, but it's okay to kill their baby. Something doesn't make sense here. I know people that have been looking for dogs. They have more requirements to get a puppy dog than they do to take care of a child. How does or how will Satan use his beauty? Because he uses his beauty to attract man to spend all of his money and his power, to get more money, to get away from God. He tries to pervert Jesus as being just a man. I'm going to make a statement here. Don't get mad at me. I can back it up with about half hour worth of material that I don't have to give you. Mary was not the mother of God. The study of Mary and Mary becoming a holy person didn't come about till about 1300s or 1500s. But their thinking is this. They'll tell you it's human reasoning. Well, Jesus would not want his mother to go to hell, so he made her sinless, and he didn't want her to die, so she ascended to heaven without death. Because he wouldn't want his mom to suffer. That brings Jesus down to man's level. By the way, if you study the real Catholic doctrine, listen to this, the Immaculate Conception was not of Jesus, it was of Mary. They believe Mary was conceived immaculately so that she could conceive Jesus. And you pray through Mary because Jesus would have to listen to his mama. Folks, that's more wicked than the devil. By the way, that makes Satan happy. That makes Satan happier than the guys under the bridge shooting drugs up this morning. Everybody doing okay? Satan will empower the Antichrist. He will be to the Antichrist what Jesus was as our Savior. By the way, he did empower Judas Iscariot. Look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Look at verse number 3. These aren't my words, these are God's. Luke 23, verse number 3. And that wasn't the one I was looking for. Maybe it's 24. Yes. No. Hang on here. 22:3. Yeah, that's it. That's it. You know, even when I double check things, they still make mistakes. As a matter of fact, I have Luke 22 written down on my notes. I just can't read my own handwriting. Luke 22, verse number 3. Then entered who? Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Satan has the ability to empower a human's life if they are not saved. If you are saved, you cannot be embodied by a demon or the devil himself. It's impossible because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. What contrast has God with man or Christ with Belial? You cannot be empowered by a demon and be saved. It is impossible. But we do know Satan entered Judas Iscariot. By the way, that was a plan by God, watch this, so that Satan would be used to kill Jesus to give us salvation. Now, I've got to hurry. Satan loves changing the word of God. If you went all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, you find him saying, thou knowest that if thou eatest of the fruit, the day thou eatest, thou shalt not surely die. Wait a minute, God said they would. One of Satan's biggest things is to change the word of God. I think you were saying about, was it the NIV this morning? The NIV is 50,000 words less than the right Bible, the King James Bible. 50,000 words. That's more than most of you have ever read in your lifetime. The devil loves changing the word of God. You don't need God. You can be your own God. You can write your own Bible and put it in your own words. Man doesn't need a dumber Bible. We need a smarter man. We don't need to rewrite the Bible. We need to reread it. We need to relive the Bible. So, I've got to hurry here. We are influenced by Satan with our pride. Satan uses our pride just like his pride lifted him up to say, I will be like God. I will ascend into heaven. I will sit on the sides of the north of the congregation. I will be like God. Isn't it amazing, as in our Sunday school lesson this morning about the graven images, when we start worshiping man-made gods, we become God. I wonder how many people will bow to the God of the NFL today. Wonder how many will bow to the God of money today. They'll go to work instead of church. Everybody doing okay? Ouch, that one hurt. This is why what we want and what we think is more important to us than thus saith the Lord. May I say it this way? We really think our opinion matters. We think our opinion is the most important opinion. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one, and you pick which one you want. You might be careful picking somebody else's, but you can. Number three, Satan tried to destroy Jesus with sin. We won't have time to turn there, but if you go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, you see Jesus being tempted of the devil. By the way, do you know how Jesus battled the devil with those temptations? He said, "It is written, Scripture says, thus saith the Lord." The Son of God himself used the words of God to defeat the devil. By the way, he was quoting Old Testament, not New Testament. I'm against, it's too strong. I'm against us making there a difference between Old Testament and New Testament. The Word of God is the Word of God. They are the words of life. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy are just as important as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He didn't say what parts of the Bible you think are important. He said man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. By the way, you mess with the Bible, you're messing with Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When he comes back to defeat Satan, the Bible says that that his name is written, the Word of God. Guess what? You mess with the Bible, you're messing with Jesus. You see, Jesus didn't battle Satan with how he felt. He didn't battle Satan with his, let's go to town here, dude. I'm going to get in a fight with you. I'm going to knock you out. He didn't go to battle with the devil and say, well, that's not what I want. This is what I want. He said, no, this is what God wants. This is what God said. Jesus keeps, listen to this statement. If you missed any, get this statement. Jesus kept eternity in view. Satan only keeps now in view. You've been fasting 40 days. Command these stones to be made bread. He said, even if I die of starvation, God's word's more important than my food. You see, we, just like the devil, because of our sin, we want what we want, and we want it right now. For instance, once it gets past noon, you're ready for me to quit because you're hungry. And if I go to 12:15, you're starting to get hangry. Some of you act like you're going to die if you go 4.5 to 5 hours with no food. Nobody wants to be around you when you're hungry. Say why? Because that's what you want. You're letting your body tell you what to do. Ouch. Jesus keeps eternity in view. That's why he didn't yield to temptation. We give in to sin because we want what we want, and we want it now. Don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. Too many of us give in to right now instead of looking down the road. Don't give in to your children begging and pleading for something they should not have. Keep saying no. Did you know no is not a bad word? Everybody doing okay? There was a day when no meant no. I love my dad's definition. No. What don't you understand? The N or the O? It's real easy. When Dad said no, there wasn't, but Dad, he got a hold of something if you did that. You had a Board of Education meeting and it was applied to the seed of knowledge, amen? Mm-hmm. Satan tried to destroy Jesus with sin, but Jesus looked at eternity, not now. Number four, Satan goes to God and accuses us of our sin. Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Job chapter 2. And I'm not going to take time to go there, but Satan still has access to God. But and the Bible says that he is the accuser of the brethren. He is not the false accuser. Brother Steve, when he goes to God and talks about how dirty and nasty and rotten and filthy you are, it's about things you really did do. But Jesus is our mediator. Once we get saved, Jesus leads over to the Father and says, Father, I paid for that with my blood. It's under the blood. He didn't do it. It's on my account, not his. He might be guilty of it in his body, but in God's eyes, God looks at him and says, what sins are you talking about? It's already been paid for. You can run your mouth all you want, but guess what? It's not going to happen. You can affect him on earth, but it will not affect his eternity. Boy, that's good stuff. Number five, Satan is the liar and the father of all lies. John chapter 8, verse number 44 says, you're of your father, the devil. He is a liar and the father of them. Now, listen to this very carefully. According to Psalm 58:3, children come forth of the womb lying. Did you know you don't have to teach a child to lie? I'll use an illustration. I won't embarrass anybody. I won't tell you who it was. But you bring a little child to the church and put them in the nursery and they scream like they're going to die at first. They think the whole world's going to stop. And if they cry, I don't want to go there. But by the time you go and pick them back up, they're having fun. Now they're lying to you. You know, you don't have to teach a child to lie. They do it very naturally. Them puppies come out of the oven lying. You wait till 2 o'clock in the morning. You think the whole world's coming apart because that thing comes screaming. It doesn't need an oil job. It doesn't need to go through the car wash. It doesn't need fuel in the tank. But it's screaming because it wants attention, but you think it's going to die. May I tell you something? Our world's gone stupid on how to take care of a baby. We think they are the most breakable thing in the world. Man, you can roll them up and bounce them off the wall and they come back. They're tougher than anything. Yeah, I mean, you think about what they went through to get here. They're pretty tough. You're not going to scar them for life. Good night. If kid doesn't have stitches by the time he's 3, give it to him anyway. Toughen up. You're not going to ruin their psyche by leaving them alone. Guess what? They need alone time because they need to find out they're a sinner. They need to learn there's a God and that everything they want when they want it isn't going to be given to them. Everybody doing all right? I just got a few people mad if I succeeded. Number six, Satan is subtle. He's flashy. He's attractive. Genesis chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any creature. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I promise you I'm going to crash land the plane here real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse number 3. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Everybody look at me. There are people that will call preaching the gospel like we do here a cult. Easy believism. Well, I don't find hard believism in the Bible, Brother Andy. Man thinks if we make it complicated, it's more like God. God said, I'll make it to where even a child can do it. It's not about lighting candles and doing this and, getting beads and praying through beads and saying Hail Marys and praying through Mary and living all the righteousness on your own. No. It is simple that Jesus paid for it all. All you have to do is receive it by faith. by faith. You realize that your righteousness is not enough to get you to heaven, but Satan has somehow said, well, I've just got to earn it some way. Many of you would remember Brother Fred. Hard-headed mountain man. Tough as a pine knot, drug backwards 3 times. I remember sitting there. Fred nearly died 3 times. I said, Fred, you're about to die. I'm not ready yet, preacher. Fred, you're going to bust hell wide open. I know, but I'm not ready yet, preacher. Oh, my soul. He was literally an hour from death, and I'm not ready yet, preacher. I said, you ain't got no time. Finally, he got saved. And he said, preacher, I don't know why I was so stubborn. I kept thinking, I have to earn this. That's the lie of the devil. Because you're a sinner, you can't earn it. You have to humble yourself and say, I'm a sinner deserving of hell just like the devil. By the way, well, how can a loving God send anybody to hell? He doesn't. It was created for the devil and his angels, not for man. God had to enlarge hell, according to scriptures, because man committed the same sin that the devil committed. Now, Satan is the deceiver of the world. By the way, Satan's eternally patient. He'll wait for decades, millenniums to get what he wants. Satan is the deceiver of the world, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9. Everybody look at me. The devil has this world blinded. Blinded. Oh, we've got to follow the science, preacher. Yeah, follow the real science, not Dr. Fauci science. I am not saying that coronavirus is not real. But did you know coronavirus has been around far longer than the last 2 years? And if you look it up medically, it's Corona SARS. SARS is the key word there. It is bioterrorism from China. Now, that's why there's so much power in the addiction of drugs and alcohol and tobacco. He's deceived us into thinking it's okay. No, it's not. That's the power of advertisement. The devil is in advertising, trust me. Good night. You can't even buy soda pop without sex being used. Got half-naked women and people running all over the place. By the way, that's where you get people that say, well, I don't need to go to church to get a hold of God. No, but you'll be a better Christian if you do go to church. You are to come out from the world to be separate from the world and come someplace where it's a little bit, this is a stretch of the imagination for man or for our church, normal, but more the way God wants it. I've got to quit. We are no match for a battle with the devil himself. You probably never have or never will face the devil himself. You'll face the forces and the working of his evil. But just because you got a nail in your tire, the devil didn't put it there. Just so you know. If you got up last night in the middle of the night and kicked the bedpost and stubbed your toe, that wasn't the devil doing that. That's because you weren't paying attention. You weren't awake enough. Quit blaming the devil. He'll go after high-profile targets. His evil is a plan to get the most powerful people that he can and influence them. By the way, did you ever notice it's the bigger churches generally that go corrupt faster? I'm not against a big church. But I will say this. Just because you can draw a crowd doesn't mean it's right. I've been out in the cow pasture and seen big pile of stuff that drew a big crowd of flies. It doesn't mean I want to step in it or eat it. I've watched Brother Aaron step in him and go, ugh. Now listen to this very carefully. The more Grace Baptist Church does for God, the more forces that evil will use to attack our church. Get ready. We're getting ready to grow. That means this. We're going to face more attack. It's okay. We're strong enough to take it. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't you worry. Get ready. As we hurt the devil, he's going to start hitting back. You throw a rock at a pack of dogs, and one that yelps is the one you hit. And when you hit that dog, he's going to come back after you if you hit him. You put him in a corner, he's going to fight. Guess what? I'm ready for the fight. It's all right. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. May I tell you how to handle an evil attack? Everybody look at me. 60 seconds and I'm done. General Patton said this: when under fire, move forward, not backwards. When under fire, move forward, not backwards, because every attacker knows this. You throw initial volleys, people stop and they begin to move back. So they would increase the distance on their volleys after the initial volleys. Patton understood if you move forward and not backwards, that if you make it through that initial volley, you move forward, guess what? Then they're firing over your heads and you can blast the snot out of them. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to lead the charge. We're not going to slow down. We might take some casualties. We might get hurt along the way, but keep moving forward. You will defeat the devil. Say, how do you know that? Because if we're following God, you got to be moving, because God isn't slowing down for the devil. That's who the devil really is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, how powerful have you allowed the devil to be in your own life, really? Have we succumbed to his power and his deceit and his subtleties? Have we believed what Hollywood and the world and all the fanciness of the world has said about it? We're so enthralled by powerful people and big money and big corporations that maybe we ought to step back and realize who might be influencing some of that. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know for sure I'd go to heaven when I died. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know for sure. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 many hands. Parents, protect your children. The devil's real. He's out to destroy. Moms and dads, he's out to destroy your marriage. He's out to destroy us as Christians.